Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. My name is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining us here for another exciting episode here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Well, today is Tuesday, and on Tuesday is when we basically do the segment, our segment from the pulpit to the couch, where you will be giving biblical teachings for believers and non-believers as it relates to a lot of questions that many individuals have in regards to this Christian walk and this journey. Now, I want to thank my Heavenly Father for waking me up this morning, but I want to get started with the show. Now, today's show is entitled Getting Your House in Order. Now, many have often heard the term, tomorrow is not promised to nobody, or the phrase, we're living in our last days. However, what does that really mean? I've attended several homegoing celebrations. I've heard the pastor say, is your house in order? Now, that is a question that often leaves individuals very confused for both believers and non-believers. I've heard individuals say, I'm not concerned about what happens to me, and others have went out of their way to make preparations, yet having others do the total opposite of the individual's wishes. So with that being said, is your house in order? Let me log on. I think one of the pastors called and just hung up. So, Pastor, thanks up. That was you. Click back on. But let me log on the other caller. Give me 1 second. Good morning. This is Jeanette. How are you doing?
Good morning, Jeanette.
Hello. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine. And yourself?
I'm doing well. You know what? I just had two other callers call in, and then they just disappeared. So hopefully they'll call back. And let me log this person on. Good morning. This is Jeanette. How are you doing?
Good morning, Jeanette. This is Pastor. How are you?
I am well. You know, yesterday we did a show about being ghosts, and I thought you was ghosting
being,
me for a minute.
About being what?
I thought I was ghosted. Being ghosted. I learned a new term about being
nope,
ghosted.
No, we're here. And, yeah, we're here. We're excited about the show today. And we thank God for another day.
Okay. Good job. So, Pastor, I'm going to start with you first, and then we're going to have Blackwell. We're going to talk about getting your house in order. And what makes this unique is we have two different pastors, one being Baptist, one being Church of God in Christ. So let's talk about what does that really mean. We'll start with you, Pastor Dennis. What does that mean to get your house in order?
Well, we have a little, I hope you can hear me well. The connection is a little weak. I think it's getting a little stronger now.
Okay.
So in regards to the topic today, I think we have, again, it's one of those topics where we're going to have to take some calls and give general information until we have a case-by-case situation. But just, you know, from the start, getting your house in order, I would have to come from the perspective of first somewhat understanding what a relationship is with the Lord and understanding that their body is the temple and understanding that this is not our permanent place. Once we come to the Lord, you know, it does require maintenance for our relationship with him. And we all as individuals have different circumstances and situations depending on the environment that we're born in, depending on our family structure that we're born into. And then we also have to deal with different type of, I would say, predilections or proclivities. And so there's always that question of things we have to deal with. And then, you know, some of these things are rooted in heredity, which is our DNA. Some of these things are, we have spiritual issues, and some are brought on by different types of addictions and habits. And so when we talk about getting our house in order, it really is the believer doing an evaluation based upon the Word of God to me scripturally and lining themselves up with the Lord, taking accountability, giving all the choices that God has given us, and rectifying whatever we need to be to understand that no one knows the day or the hour that the Lord is going to come, and knowing that we want to be ready when he comes, and then understanding all the tools that God has given us that allows us to be ready. So I'd want to open up with that statement.
Okay, and I like that. And, you know, and it's interesting because I know for myself, and, I mean, I've been to several funerals and seem like way more than I should for a human being. But one of the things that I noticed is that you normally don't hear that phrase, getting your house in order, until you are at a home-going celebration. Now, Blackwell, I have a question. Why do you think, or why does it that it seem like that's just a perception that normally you don't hear that in churches often until it's the home-going?
Well, 90% of the people who come to the funeral don't believe they're going to die. 90% mm-hmm. of the people who come to a funeral don't believe they'll die. Most of the people you catch walking around, they often always say, I got time. I don't need to rush to do anything now. I need to live. I'm not in a hurry. I know who I am. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. I got time to get that settled between me and God. Because 90% of the time, I know Pastor Stell looks at it from a, when we look at it from a spiritual level, we think about a relationship with Christ. But when most of the other people look at it, they're thinking about, well, I haven't bought the new house yet. I haven't attained the new car that I wanted. I haven't obtained the physical nor the financial things, so I'm not in order. But I know when Pastor Stell preaches from the pulpit and when I preach from the pulpit, our major preaching is to help heed people to get their life in line with Christ. It's about getting them in line with Christ. It's not about anything else. Honestly, that's really our driven goal, to preach and teach and tell people to line themselves up with the Word of God so they will help understand their mission here on earth. Because I've been at many funerals and did many funerals, and, you know, I worked in the funeral industry for 30 years, and nobody believes they're going to die. I mean, nobody. Nobody. And you have to share with them there's a point in time that all of us will die. There are some things you got to get in order.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have a caller on the other line. Let me log on this person. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Predicaments, Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing? Number ending in 3-2?
I'm good.
Okay. Anything you want to add to this topic with getting your house in order?
Not right now. I'm listening right now.
Okay. All right. Now, when I was getting this information, and like I said, these things just be popping in my head sometimes, in regards to getting your house in order. And like Blackwell was saying, is sometimes we start looking at the worldly things. I got to take care of this. I got to take care of that. And a lot of times we put in a lot of focus on the wrong thing, especially when we're talking about our relationship. And as I was getting some of the information together, it was talking about faith, family, finances, and future. Now, Pastor Dennis Hill, talking about and giving the believers some insight, how can we break this down? Because a lot of times, and like you said, no one knows the time or the hour. We're watching people, you know, leave this earth young and old and middle age. And, you know, and we always want to say, and I think that's the one time you had indicated about my mother, about we know where she went, and I started laughing like, I don't know about all that. But by that same token, a lot of times people have a different perception of getting your house in order. How can we break it down to clarify that?
You're breaking up. I caught.
Okay,
yeah,
can you hear me?
I caught part of the question. I hear you now. Just repeat the question again. I caught part of it.
How can we, a lot of times when we're looking at people's life and we want to know whether they do have their house in order. How can we make it clear and plain without, and this is not about passing judgment, this is not, you know, pointing a finger at individuals, but trying to help them gain clarity as far as what that really means. And I know I have another caller on the line, but just to share some insight, it said, Blackwell, I don't know if that's your background noise, but I do hear a lot of background noise.
I'm in a secure area, so it's pretty quiet. I think it's just a connection. I might have to hang up and dial back in. But to answer the question, I have people to talk about, first of all, developing a healthy view of God and then developing a healthy view of themselves. And to understanding that...
I'm still here.
Okay. And that when their life is, just as the scripture says, built on a solid foundation, things tend to fall in place. And we're going to struggle in this life. And what I tend to tell people I counsel in is that if I'm going to struggle, I'd rather have the Lord with me than without. And mm-hmm. if we're going to go through anyways, I know the Lord's not going to put no more on me than I can bear. And so, and looking directly at the topic of, you know, getting this house in order, getting my house in order, the one thing I've always heard from a child is that if we're trying to get ourselves in order, we're going to fail. And so we need mm-hmm. his help to do it. We need God to help us, to guide us, to lead us, to get us in the right environment, to surround us with the right people who really care. And that starts with developing a healthy view of God first, okay, and then developing a healthy view of yourself. Those things are important. And so when you look at those things, you have to understand the Word of God in the Bible and the difference between what's going on right now. I think what the pastor was talking about earlier is that we do have millennials now, and the millennials have a whole mm-hmm. different view of the world than older people have. I think as we get older and older, you know, people can't help whether they believe in God or not. They know their time is coming, and it is innate in us to get our house together either naturally, financially, or spiritually if we don't know the Lord or not. And for the people who come up in the Lord, come up in church and culturally have a background with God but aren't in the place where they need to be, it's kind of like I call it a spiritual clock.
Mm-hmm.
And that spiritual clock starts ticking, and then people will start inquiring more and they will start listening more to the scriptures, and I've seen that. And so that's why I said earlier in my opening statement, it's a case-by-case situation. Two things we do want to point out is that, number one, there's only two choices. There's no purgatory. You're either going to be in heaven or you're going to be in hell. And hell is not preached about a lot these days, but those are the choices, because as we've talked on many shows, church has become a place of entertainment in a lot of places. And so
mm-hmm.
Getting your house in order has different meanings to different people. And even for a lot of believers, it means just if I'm okay financially, if I'm okay, you know, with a house, with a car and this, I'm fine. And what we come to find out is that that's not the case. Last year was a good example, and even going into this year now, we've had another example of the young man, I think his name was Christoph, the soap star,
mm-hmm.
in his early 50s. And so we've had a lot of examples, Jeanette, Pastor, of people who have crazy money, who have multiple homes, have
right.
all kinds of cars, who have stardom and who have fame, taking their own life because they have a big hole in their soul. And so they have Kate Spade, Anthony Bourdain, you know, the world mm-hmm. famous chef, the world famous clothes designers, soap stars, And the list is long. And these are people that on the natural side, you think they have all that it takes. And what we find out is it's more germane to the spiritual side. And so being spiritually healthy, you can have a lot less of the natural things and have your house in order. And it may not look like it to the world, but you come to the place where you don't care what the world thinks. The opinion is God's opinion and how it lines up with the Word of God.
Gotcha. Okay, we have another caller on the line. Let me log this person on. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Predicaments at Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing? Number ending in 67.
I'm doing fine. This is Mother Perkins.
Okay, Mother Perkins, anything you want to add to this
Good
topic
morning.
About getting your house in order?
No, I'm just listening now.
Okay.
I don't have anything to add because Pastor pretty much laid it out very plain, and that's the way it is. And I agree 100%. As an older person, that's exactly the way it is. And now, you know, when you reach a point in your life, you're more conscious. I always tell the kids I got more time behind me than in front of me. And you get to that point that you are more conscious every day of that fact, and you are more susceptible to looking at your life and trying to live it in a way that will be pleasing to God. You get to a point of maturity anyway, whether you're saved or not, where you just don't really care about opinions. You know, I think that comes with maturity, where you just don't really, it doesn't matter how you know, whether you talked about or people agree or anything like that, because you have yourself focused on life and obtaining your life. You know, I used to, as a young person, I was very self-conscious of what people thought about me, and I wasted so much time of my life trying to fit into this group and fit into that group. I even got kicked out of a line trying to trying to pledge a sorority. They like, you don't fit in. And I'm like, what do you mean I don't fit in? You know, and then I'm like, well, okay, I'll go over here. They like, nah. And I felt really bad because I couldn't fit in, but it was never the will or the plan of God. And I didn't understand that as a young person. But as I grew older, I began to notice, well, you know what? This is my life, and I'm going to have to live it, you know, because I have to give an account for it. So I became more conscious, and I think that comes with a certain amount of maturity. But as a saved believer, your ultimate goal, whether you're young or old, is to live according to the Word of God, because after all the opinion accolades or whatever Pastor was talking about, all of these people who have prominence and influence, the one thing you want to hear is God say, well done. Nothing else matters in the scope of things. Yes, we want to be liked. Nobody wants to live and not be liked. That's not true. You want to be liked. You know, you want to have people around you that celebrate you and that you can celebrate with. But the ultimate goal is to please God. And I think that comes with maturity, because you see it, you know.
Now, when we're talking about this topic, and for some reason we have a lot of static. I don't know, Blackwell, is that you in the background? Because I kind of was clicking you back and forth, and then it disappeared. And I know Tammy was saying it's breaking up for her, too. So we're getting a lot of noise. So what I did was I took it off a speakerphone and just had the phone up to my ear, because I know they're changing some lights over here in my building. And taking care of that. Now, when we talk about our house and we're talking about whether it's our body as a temple or as we're talking about our spiritual house, you know, a lot of times, like we said, it's in regard to our perception of what is meant by that. Sometimes individuals think about our affairs, and I like the way you put it, Ms. Perkins, when you said, well, my good and faithful servant, because we all are going to have to be held accountable for, you know, things that we've done here on earth, and we want things to make sure that it's pleasing and satisfying to God. And like they say, only what you do for God will last. But by that same token, sometimes individuals can just be a mess, or their life can seem like it's a mess. But, Pastor, is it too late for some? Because I think that's where a lot of individuals that I've noticed struggle with is in regards to whether it's forgiving themselves or thinking if God is going to forgive them. What is some information you can give the listeners? Because I had a conversation with a person yesterday in regards to that, and like I had to tell him, I can only say what works for me. And, you know, you may think that if I keep doing this, I feel comfortable, but it's still not making you happy. But what is something that you can share to give the listeners a word of encouragement in regards to knowing that it's really never too late to start?
Well, I mean, sometimes people overthink forgiveness. And just as I talked about yesterday, when we talked about justification, it's nothing that we can do. And what I'm saying is that Christ has already done it all. And now it's up to us to believe the word of God and then to simply to ask the Lord for forgiveness. And Jesus always said, you know, your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. And so getting our house in order simply starts with opening our mouth, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, asking for forgiveness. And it's not, you know, Christ has done the heavy lifting for us. And that's what we need to realize. And now, as we say all the time, you know, now we need the power of the Holy Spirit, which is the keeping power. And this is where I say it comes down to our individual proclivities, okay, and predilections. And so my hindrance is not going to be yours. Mine's not, pastor's is going to be different from mine. I'm going to be different. The thing about it, though, as Paul says, we all struggle. And what we have to understand is that God reveals to us our issues, and that's when we lean on him. And what we try to do is make sure we're getting better each day. We can't say, you know, the old Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. We have to be, you know, we mistakes are costly. Habits are costly. Okay. All these things are costly to the believer. And, you know, when we begin to see these things, when they hit us financially, when they hit us to where it costs us in our body, these things all add up, and God knows how to put us in a place where we have a reality check. And something what Pastor said earlier, you know, I had to go and get a scripture on it, and I went to Luke, the 26th chapter, and I want to read this. Luke 17, verse 26. The Bible says this, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, okay, and his stuff in his house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. And so Jesus said, I've done my part. I put out the warning. I've got the scriptures here. And we have our responsibility there at that portion to handle our predilection, our proclivity, and to understand that he is coming soon and the Lord keeps his promises. And so the word I want to put out there is distractions. And then I'm going to add a word in front of that, and then I'm going to add a word in front of that called fatal distractions, okay? And with distractions and fatal distractions, you will find young fools and you'll find old fools. And what we have is that what's keeping a lot of people from getting their house in order is distractions. And you'll see it, and when we see it, we laugh and we joke about these things, but these people can't see themselves as a joke or being distracted because the enemy has them. You know, you see an 80-year-old guy walking, running around with a 20-year-old girl. You understand what I'm saying? And thinking he all that.
Mm-hmm.
And we see all kind of craziness. We see all these things. And getting our life in order is understanding where we're at, spiritually, where we're at, mentally, where we're at, in the Word of God, how it lines up, and being rational. And understand that idealism versus realism is a very, very serious thing. And most of all, you know, we don't get this time back. Don't sit and think about 10 years ago, 15 years ago. It's done. And it is this day moving forward. And how am I going to get better each day?
Amen. Blackwell, you got something to say because I heard you snickering. What you got to say, Blackwell?
You know, it's amazing, Pastor, would read that because it just gives us a warning. It makes me reminds me of something my grandmother used to often say, you know, being a kid born in the 60s, you would often hear the older people or grandparents, great-grandparents who were in church, they'd often make the statement, boy, you better get your house in order.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, you better get it together. And one of the things, I'm just listening to the pastor, it's amazing looking at this millennium age who doesn't believe anything, who doesn't care about anything, who lives almost like the leaves and the winds blow around. And you just sit back and you wonder, because you did make me think, Jeanette, about, you know, the work I did at the mortuary. And I've been speaking with different families. Some of them would come in prepared, but most of the families would come in unprepared. And then when you would talk to them about life and death and the Lord, you know, most of the people I would deal with didn't have a sense of the Lord and could care less. I mean, care less about lining themselves up with the Lord. All they cared about was the money they had in their pocket, the house, and Pastor Stell made me hit on a note that something I would often always say in a funeral. I said, you know what? I have yet to pull out the hearse and pull out the limousine and then pull the U-Haul out. Nobody drives a U-Haul with this thing to the cemetery.
That's right.
And I said, whatever you can do, I said, you know, you're not going to take your stuff with you. Ain't no need to get mad. You're going to leave that fine woman behind. Ain't no need to get mad. You're going to leave that fine man behind. But the question is, where are you going? Where are you going? Where are you going? Because everything you have obtained on earth will be left behind.
Mm-hmm.
So ironic and amazing. I got my wife's sister every Sunday morning. We asked her to go to church. We're going to take her grandson to church. Nah, I ain't going to no church. I'm going to have church right here, right here. So one Sunday morning, Pastor Stell, because I kept witnessing to her and she kept rejecting. I said, come here, baby. She said, what? I said, come on over here. Give your brother-in-law a kiss. And my niece is about 27, 28. I said, come on over here, niece. Give your uncle a kiss. And they said, what was that about? I said, I'm sure going to miss y'all when y'all gone. I said, because I ain't going to see you no more. I know I'm not going to see you no more because you hate God. But I'm going to keep praying for you, but let me just give you a kiss now so you'll say we kissed on this side because I don't plan to see you on the other side. You're going the wrong way.
Amen. Yep.
And it's sad. It's sad, but it's true. There's so many people who don't want to get ignored. And Jeanette, this is a great topic.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say to you, like Pastor Stale says, we are so hindered by proclivities, it is ridiculous. And it does drift over into the church. And it's amazing,
mm-hmm.
Jeanette, only you can do this. Only you can get a Baptist pastor and a Kojic pastor to talk about this type of thing. And that's why Pastor Stale, I just started laughing. He was kind of cute.
Because
mm-hmm. you know we always have that saying, well, they ain't going,
yeah.
well, we going, and they ain't going. I'm saying to myself, okay, only Jeanette can do this. But Pastor
yeah.
Stale, you know I love you. I know we both going.
I love you
I
too.
Look to see
God
you.
God bless. Yep.
Well, that's because when this stuff be coming to my spirit, I'd be like, okay, I got to make it work some kind of way. I didn't know a pastor was ghosting me. I sent him a text message. I didn't hear from him. I said, okay, I called
well,
you this morning. I said, I might need a backup. I might need a backup. I ain't heard from him yet. I ain't heard from him yet.
Well,
so, and I know I don't want to be trying to talk about this.
That kind of leads into another point what Pastor was just saying is that the enemy has less work to do because we're so busy
right.
attacking each other. And
right.
we're making his job easy. And what we have to understand is that churches have to be focused again on soul winning.
Amen.
We've been focused on, you know, titles. We've been focused on how many bishops and
yeah.
we've been focused on buildings. We've been focused on, you know, all this social media stuff and who's doing this, concerts and singers and denominations, and we've gotten our mind off what we're really here for, soul
mm-hmm.
winning and building the kingdom of God. And so many people have they misinterpret that, and it's real important for us to understand. I have a cute little anecdote that I seen the other night. This lady walked up to her husband's casket and put $1 million check. She put $1 million check in his hand in the casket
mm-hmm.
and said, and he made her promise, you
mm-hmm.
know, this is what I work for. This is my God. And when I die, I'm going to be buried with all my money.
Money.
And she wrote that $1 million check, put the check in there. They said, what you doing? He said, he wanted to be buried with all his money. Let's see him spend it now. She
mm-hmm.
laid the check there and walked away. And so we have to be cognizant of that and understand. And I want to throw one more thing out there that the Lord said, I've come that you may have, you know, abundance. I've come that you may have. And we have... We have made church, we have made this journey sometimes be a tedious journey by the yoke we put on people and by
Amen.
how we try to paint the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people are quick to say, the Lord said, the Lord said.
Mm-hmm.
I'm real careful how I use the Lord's name.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to use his name in vain. And that's what we have to understand. God has not put that hard a yoke on people. And so we get mad. We abuse pastoral authority. We use denomination. We misuse denominational authority. And there are a lot of people who are angry right now because of the abuses of church and of leaders.
Man.
And that's why the focus has shifted. The other reason is that while we've been so busy doing those things, there is a whole new generation of philosophers, teachers, and preachers now who are rewriting the Word of God, putting a whole twist, a whole different connotation on it, and trying to say, like, this is not what the Lord meant. This is not true. That's not true. They're trying to change the Word of God. And this has not only the millennials, this fooling some of us older folks, too. And the point I'm trying to make is there are some people who think that their house is in order because they're false preachers. There are false preachers, there's false apostles, and there are false spiritual leaders who are telling them that it's all good, all roads lead to God. They're telling them that, see? And so there's a lot of people that are confused, that have false doctrine, okay, and believe that their house is in order and it's not, and someone's going to be held accountable for that, too.
You know what, Pastor, it's interesting you said that. I was looking at Facebook the other day, and they had something about a naked church. And the people were naked.
Come on now.
I said, ain't no way I want to go to no
church.
Yeah,
they were naked.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's
I
a naked
it
church. The pastor was naked. The congregation was naked.
I have a question for Pastor. I just want Pastor to comment on, did we think we would see this in our day?
Ooh, no way, Doc. No way, man. You know, you say that, Pastor Stell, but man, no way did we even think that it would be this bad. I was at a church, and I'll be very honest with you. I was at a church. Matter of fact, it was my father-in-law's funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a doctorate degree. I have a doctorate degree in Christian education. And the preacher stood up, and you know the text where it states, I can't remember the scripture right off the hand, but I can remember the word. It said, what Job said, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return.
Yes.
The Lord giveth, the Lord is taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, that ain't what it really meant. That ain't what it really meant. You know, Job was a little disappointed, but Job knew he was going to get it all again. I'm like, okay, where you going with this? And he just misinterpreted so bad, and the people were jumping. And I'm looking around, and I said, okay, Lord, you got to help me because this is bad, and I can't stand bad theology.
Right,
yeah. Because it kills us. But then again, it doesn't only kill us. It kills that new group who don't read their Bible. And
Amen.
They take everything the preachers say for heart. And it made me think about some pastor, and you can agree with this. I took out some church insurance, and in my church insurance, it has a clause in it where if I say or I'm missing,
okay, you break it
through a lawsuit. Through a lawsuit. You hear me?
Yep.
And I'm protected. And it made me think, who's protecting the people, man, when we stand up and say anything? These young cats get up and say any and everything. And it just drives me out of my mind.
I got to say one thing you get stayed on me about. You always used to make me keep my Bible open. When a pastor's up there preaching, you keep your Bible open on the scripture and make sure they don't divert. And I used to be like, why are you cussing at me like we still in elementary school? And then you would quiz me and ask me all them questions. I'd be like, I don't want to talk to you. Bye.
If you're going to get it, you got to get it.
That's where the Holy Spirit comes in, because the Bible said the Spirit bears witness of itself. You can keep your Bible open, but if you got one of these wrong translations and they're preaching something, you follow it, you still mess yourself up. This
Correct.
Is why we need the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says that He teaches us. He is the teacher, and He interprets for us what we don't understand. We have put too much intellectualism into church, and I'm not knocking education because I'm a lifetime student. But when intellectualism cannot, the Bible said the carnal mind cannot discern the spirit. Intellectualism has taken front role of spiritualism, of the Holy Spirit. Let me say that, not spiritualism, because they got that out there too. It has taken the place of the Holy Spirit and his defining purpose. And we use intellectualism in place of that. And that spirit of intellectualism has come in and tried to push out the Holy Spirit by saying, well, they didn't, they were unlearned, and this is what the Word of God does not change. He said he's the same yesterday, and forevermore. He's going to be the same. Yeah. There's no shadow of turning in his Word. It's established, and that's that. But we have allowed our flesh, our intellect, to come in and take the seat of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And that's where you're getting all this false doctrine. And so many people, young and old. It ain't just young people, it's old people too.
Correct, old people too. You know, Mother Perkins, and I want to say, when I had the conversation with the person yesterday, they indicated in prison or in jail, they give you two things to read, and one of them is the Bible. And he said, I read the Bible, but it made no sense to me. And I said, well, that's because you're not supposed to lean on your own understanding of it. And a lot of times, individuals are getting more confused because, as I'm looking at this, and it even talks about how Hezekiah received the warning that said, get your house in order because death is knocking at your door. And having heard the voice of God through the prophet, Hezekiah prayed to God. So sometimes when we talk about getting your house in order and trying to interpret that, a lot of times we get lost in the message, or we get lost in what that really means. Because some people just say, I pray, I read the Bible, and they're still confused, and sometimes even more confused.
I hear on TV a lot, Pastor, on these programs and a lot of this teaching, and they give out scripture, and they give, but nobody's telling you, you got to live this thing. You can't just hear it. The Bible said, just don't be hearers of the word. You got to be doers. You got to be able to live this thing. It goes back to the parable of the sower. It has to fall on good ground in order to take root in your life, in order to make that transformation in your life. You can hear it all day long. They got like, 20 different religious stations on cable? And you can hear it all day long. But what I don't hear them saying to people is, you got to live this thing. It's a day-to-day walk. You have to let it permeate your very being to live, because the word is living. It's not dead. We sing the song, God's not dead. He's yet alive. His words are not dead words. They are life, and they're supposed to come alive in us when we hear them and spark something within us to make us make this change. And in making this change, all things are going to fall in order. He said in the word, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So when we seek him first, our affairs will be in order. Our natural affairs will be in order. We will do the things naturally that we're supposed to do. We will treat people and our family the way we're supposed to, because we are seeking God first. We cannot put the cart before the horse. God has to be first.
Perkins.
He has to be first.
Amen. Preach, Dr. Perkins.
I'm about to take up offer.
Oh, the Lord is good.
Well, but you know what? But that helps individuals get better understanding, because a lot of times people don't know where to start. Whether, you know, like
right.
I said, the person that I was talking to, you know, had spent some time in prison. And because I have the opportunity to engage in conversations with people from all walks of life, whether
mm-hmm.
they're coming to me on drugs, whether they're coming to me with marital problems, whether they're coming to me with mental health issues, with problems with their children. And, you know, sometimes I just sit there and sometimes I may say nothing, or I let the spirit use me. And like I be telling people, all I can do is tell you what works for
what
me.
You say?
It may not work for you. All I can do is tell them what works for me. It may not work for you, but this is what I do. And trying to live by example, because that, you know, because a lot of times individuals get discouraged. And sometimes they want to give up. And some people just be a hot mess. And forgiveness also plays a role in getting organized. Get organized. And running to the church sometimes, you know, the pastor may not have time to always sit you down. And some people don't want to hear or don't want to get no help either. Blackwell, I don't know where you are, but you have a lot of background noise, Blackwell.
I apologize. I'm moving. I'm on my way to the hospital.
On my way to the hospital. Okay.
Yeah, but we'll talk about that at the end. Let me say one quick thing, and I need to jump off. Mother Perkins, you were so correct about intellect. I want to share that real quickly because you were so right, because there was a time we wanted to be intellectual, and we didn't want to be Holy Ghost-filled preachers. We wanted to be
mm-hmm.
intellectual preachers. And I learned something. Dr. R.A. Williams said something to me that made more sense than I've ever learned in school. He said, you got to be able to give the hay on every level. If you're in church, whether
you're
elected, then you got to preach that way. He said, but if you got to put it on the ground where they can feed, you feed it on the ground.
Amen.
I learned to be able to preach on every level and every
right.
aspect. And that's what a lot of these guys are not. They want to preach to a certain group. They don't care. And they preach the same way everywhere. But that's cool. That's their style. But you got to know what you're preaching to. And that's been a major concern. I think, Pastor, you can identify that. You got to identify the crowd. If you can't identify the crowd, you're in trouble. I don't care how well you preach it, it just won't come out. And over the years of getting your house in order, it's a major thing. And I know Pastor can tell it, because we can sit back and laugh and joke and talk about, you can sit back and write the best sermon you thought in the world. You come out there, the folk don't want to hear the word, the spirit ain't up, and you're like, Lord, today after all these hours, today, and then when you get into it, at the end of the sermon, here they come running down the aisle. And you're like, wow, I don't even know what happened today. But I agree with you, Mother. The Holy Spirit has to be a part, and prayer has to be major in the life of the servant. I like what Paul says in first in Romans chapter 1. He says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. That's first. He doesn't talk about all the other stuff. He talks about being a servant. And that's one thing we forgot in the Christian life, that we are servants first. Not lords, but servants.
Amen.
I like that.
What happened to Jeanette? She gone?
No, I'm still right here. I'm about to call on Lady T, because Lady T more quiet than I am. Lady T, what you got to say in regard to this topic?
No.
Well, I've heard a lot about keeping your house in order and everything, and I've actually had a church, and I had to leave because the leader... some of us know. I saw him change. When I saw him change, I saw him be drawn away and try to flip the scripture to fit what he was living. And because I wasn't in agreement, I couldn't sit up under that, because I have my own relationship with God.
Amen.
And I see a lot of people being changed because they're so caught up in the hype that they don't even realize that the words are being changed to fit a lifestyle that you decided to live. That's not a lifestyle mm-hmm. of Christ. So I was like, okay, there's a lot of people that have these titles and claims, you know, that they have a relationship of Christ, but then you allow someone to tell you something different and to change your mind about Scripture. So you're not as strong as you thought in your words. Because no mm-hmm. one should be able to sway you if you have your own relationship. And mm-hmm. so I had to step away from that because I feel if you stay and you know it's wrong, you're in agreement.
That's right. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm.
I'm not in agreement with what goes against the Word of God. Mm-hmm. So if you want to change the particular lifestyle, you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
That at my house is in order because since the head wanted to leave and was out of his mind, God put me in my right mind to take over and to run my household.
Amen.
Amen.
So I prayed and I said, Lord, since he don't want to be in his right mind, put me in my right mind. Bless mm-hmm. me, cover me, show me how to run this house.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And Amen. He did that. And he blesses me because I'm obedient to him.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And like you said, relationship is very important. Your faith is very important. Your family, your finance, and your future. And see, part of getting your house in order is also cleaning up your house and letting
right.
some of that stuff go. You know, and a lot of times people don't, you know, you can kind of do like me. People call me a hoarder sometimes because I got stuff everywhere. But you got to clean through the rubbish. You got to get mm-hmm. organized, become organized with your life and your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Because at the mm-hmm. end of the day, when we hold an account, are being held accountable, we be sitting there twiddling our lips. I used to always say, Lord, just don't let me die hungry. Whatever I do, just if you go take me, just don't let me be hungry. So, but you got to get your life in order.
Can I say this with what Lady T was saying? It's just like going to a restaurant. You're not going to eat anyway. You're going to look at that. I always look for that note on the door. If I see anything other than an egg, mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm out. Because you're not going to eat anywhere. And eat anything. So mm-hmm. why feed your soul anything
right.
and let your spirit sit anywhere? You know, mm-hmm. that's how I feel like. Well, no, because I don't eat anything, so I'm not going to listen to anything, to everything. I'm particular.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since I got older. I noticed since I got older, my appetite changed in the natural. Some things I could stomach when I was young. I can't stomach that stuff now.
Amen.
And it's the
mm-hmm.
same way in the spirit. It's the mm-hmm. same way in the spirit. I can't deal with it.
Right.
No. No. I'm not
mm-hmm.
going to eat anywhere and eat anything. And therefore, I'm not going to feed my spirit man anything
mm-hmm.
and put him anywhere. And sometimes that means being by yourself.
Right.
Sometimes that being by yourself, you talk about hoarding. Sometimes you have to declutter in the natural
yeah,
and the spirit because
mm-hmm.
everybody don't see what you see and feel what you feel. So you have to let some of this stuff go. I've had to let people go. Every other week I'm going through my phone list. I probably ain't got nobody on there now besides family and church people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, oh, girl, somebody call me. Well, can you call? So, no, I call them. I don't have their number. You know, well, I thought, no, that was back then. This is now. I'm in a whole different place with God. And like mm-hmm. I said the other Sunday, God is doing something different. And I'm old. Pastor, he was in the 50s. I'm in the 40s. I was raised in the 40s, so I got a whole different perspective on
mm-hmm.
things, but God has tended me and mellowed me. Sometimes I be so mellow, I scare myself. And he's yet working He's yet working on me. Because I got a lot of rooms. I was like, Lord, go to the attic and the basement while this stuff is stored. Mm-hmm. And we like to hide stuff. I don't want to hide nothing from God.
That's right.
I don't want to hide anything. Whatever it takes. The word says if you have to, if you value your family, mother and father more than you value Christ, you may miss the mark. Because they may not be going the right way. I don't want to put nothing in nobody before my life in Christ. Because you ain't that important. You ain't that important.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Okay, Pastor.
Jeanette? I think we hit it.
Jeanette is all over the place
really
right
well
now.
Today. Well, we kind of hit all the points. We kind of hit all the points today, and it's been a great show. Again, you know, you're going to have to be specific with different people and where they're at. I think the best thing we can do is handle our situation where we are at, you know, and be an example to people because we're all being watched. Whether we know it or not, somebody's watching us. They're watching how we deal with a particular situation. They're watching how we deal with people. They're watching how we deal with the change of life. They're watching how we deal with circumstances. And a lot of times your best witness is just being faithful to God in what you're going through and how you're handling it. And so that's key for us until we get to individual situations. And there's scriptures on everything under the sun. And the Holy Spirit will give us wisdom on how to lead and guide particular people. And so that's what's key, and that's what's germane to this particular topic today. There's going to be people that have serious issues. There's going to be some people with not as serious situations. The most important thing that I tell people is that people need a pastor and people need a church. That's important.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook is not your pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. YouTube is not a pastor. And these people who are doing satellite churching, you know, you have one pastor, he got 10 churches and he only stay at one and won't let nobody else preach, and then everybody else is satelliting on screen. We have so much going on here. And you know, and the pastors need to do their job.
Pastor, I just got a question. Someone just sent me a text, and it says, so if your significant spouse or other is not saved, is your house out of order?
No, of course not. We have scripture on that in Corinthians from Paul. And first of all, let me tell people is that don't let other people come in and mess your house up. Listen to the word of God. Listen to the word of God. And Paul gives us specifics in scripture. It depends on what your status was when you got married. If you married an unsaved person and you were saved, you knew that going in. If you both were saved going in and now one of them is no longer saved, the scripture tells us what to do in that regard too. But what I tell people to do is to follow what the word of God says. We had a jurisdictional supervisor, Mother Nash, whose husband was not saved. She came up in the church, did everything she was supposed to do, but at the same time, she said, I'm faithful to my husband. I take care of my home. And the Lord blessed her years and years and years. And the people respected Dad Nash. And by and by, just as the scripture said, Dad Nash accepted the Lord. But Mother, I've heard her many times in church, Perkins, you have too, she never sassed that man. She never, you know, and that's what's important for people to understand is that time is coming up on us. Buddy, they'll ask this question at the end of the show.
You know what? And it took them a long time. They did. They sent me that text message, and I answered it.
See, some people will talk you out of your home and out of your marriage and out of a good thing, and then now they won't be there for you in a time of trouble. And so it's a case-by-case situation, but we know what the scripture says. We could take it up at another show, but it's a very good question.
Gotcha. And I just found another text. Facebook message.
You have to say.
I'm looking at something. It says, life is empty without Jesus. So until next week, I want you to remember you got this. And, Pastor, are you going to give us a topic? Or am I going to have to hunt you down again?
Since that question came in at the end of the show, we can talk about marriage in Christ.
Yeah. Okay, marriage in Christ. Okay, that's a good one. Okay, so next week's topic will be marriage in Christ. So until next week, join us here at Blog Talk Radio, Precious Predicaments. Remember, you got this. And next week, we'll be talking about marriage in Christ. So you're not going to want to miss this episode. So thank you very much for listening, and have a blessed day. Bye-bye. Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.